right. Amen. Okay, if you have a Bible tonight, would you turn to the book of Revelation chapter number 4, please? Revelation chapter number 4. I'll tell you, that was some good preaching tonight. I got me a few messages tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And you know that message or that song tonight, Walk On, that goes with that message, brother. You know, through perfect. That just, you know, we're all going to face some storm or another. There's no doubt about it. Amen. And it's in those storms where the devil whispers, you know, as we sang, till the storm passes over, you know, Satan whispers often, there's no need to try. There's no hope for tomorrow, you know, and so on. And so in the midst of the storm is where we need to keep on keeping on. Amen. And so thank you, my brother. I've seen you leave, and I thought to myself, for sure, he's got to go get changed. Amen. He was sweating. I'm so glad that I got to preach right now. It feels actually good. As a matter of fact, I need a coat. Does that not do that? Amen. But I'm going to say something tonight that that our brother said when he first got up here tonight. And I concur with you, my brother. I really believe tonight, for some reason, the devil is trying to put a damper on the meeting tonight.
Yes, sir.
I can sense it tonight. Yes, sir. I really do. But that message, boy, that right there would help us tonight. You know, in spite of what the devil's trying to do. I think he's trying to distract our minds, you know what I mean, from really focusing and getting attention to the Word of God. And so I've been sitting there praying, you know what I mean, for God to do something. Amen. Let's not let the devil tonight get the victory. Let's, by the grace of God, overcome that. Amen.
Amen.
We're praying for God to do something. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. It's usually when God's gone to do something, the devil does show up. You know, the devil's not interested in meetings where the Lord's not at. Amen. You have the demon-possessed people in the Old or in the New Testament scriptures where Jesus was speaking, even in the synagogue, they're standing up. Amen. And so the devil opposes what God is doing. And so you and I, may we not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And may we learn and discern that, you know, the devil's trying to distract me somehow, some way, because probably there's something for me tonight. Amen. And so let's tonight do the best we can to plead the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Our salvation gives us the overcoming power. If you're born of God, according to 1 John chapter 5, you're an overcomer. Amen. And so thank God for that. Tonight in Revelation chapter number 4, and by the way, man, I wrote down some stuff, brother, that you're preaching. And not only did I get messages tonight that I'm going to have to preach somewhere else. Amen. So I could tell everybody how the Lord gave it to me. But nonetheless, you enhance some messages that I already have too. And so I thank the Lord for that. Amen. Revelation chapter 4 tonight. I want to preach a little bit tonight from this as a springboard, if you will. Would you look at verse number 10 and 11? Revelation chapter 4, verse number 10 and 11. Verse number 10 says, actually I'm in chapter 5. This fan is throwing my pages around. Amen. But anyway, Revelation chapter 4, verse number 10, the 24 elders believed to represent the church in heaven, if you will. They fall down before him that sat on the throne, and that's God, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And thank God, our God is a God that's alive and alive forevermore. Amen. And because he lives, we also will live. And it goes on to say, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and verse number 11 is what the 24 elders say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And it goes on to say, for thou hast created all things. And by the way, we believe that God created everything. Amen. You got to have more faith to believe in evolution than you do have to believe in God. Amen. And by the way, everybody's believing somebody. I just choose to believe the 40 individuals that wrote over 1,500 years in this precious book. You can believe a book that says 1 million years ago. How in the world do you get a time period like that? How can you say 100 million years? Come on now. Amen. Don't make no sense. Amen. But nonetheless, they said, you have created. Now look at the rest of the verse number 11. You've created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I want to talk to you tonight about the fact that not only was everything created for the pleasure of God, but primarily you and I were created for the pleasure of God. And I want to preach a little bit tonight on this topic, pleasing the Lord. You see, if it was God's design for you and I to please the Lord, and by the way, it was created, Adam and Eve were created in the beginning to please the Lord. Sin entered in, and that was displeasing to the Lord. And because of the sinfulness of the human race, we can't begin to please the Lord until we get saved. The first thing that pleases the Lord is when you and I hear the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That pleases the Lord. You see, the Lord is pleased with them that hope in His mercy. You see, there are people that don't hope in the mercy of God. They hope in their good works to save them. God's not pleased when you say, I don't need your son, I can do this. God is pleased when you and I say, I'm a sinner, dear Lord, be merciful unto me. There's nothing I can do to save myself. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The moment we get saved is the moment we begin to please the Lord. But I want to talk tonight as Christians. You and I as saved people, now that we're children of God, you and I are designed by God. And by the way, when we're not pleasing the Lord and we know it, we just don't feel right. By the way, do you know why most Christians don't feel right? Because we don't do right. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Amen. How can you feel right if you're not doing right? Amen. And by the way, so you and I have a purpose, and when we're not doing our purpose, which is to please the Lord, we obviously know it, we feel it, and we don't like it. So let's get back to pleasing the Lord, amen? I'm going to talk to you about pleasing the Lord tonight. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to try to go slower tonight. I'm going to slow down a little bit, amen? I even didn't have any caffeine today. I don't drink caffeine anyway. I drink decaffeinated coffee. I know some of you men are like, oh, come on, brother. Brother Hamlin calls coffee the holy bean, if I'm not mistaken. Amen. And but anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want you to look with me, if you would, please. Let me make a statement here tonight as we get into this. God is not pleased with every believer's behavior. God is not pleased with every believer's behavior. We live in a day and we live in an age where people think, you know what, God's just going to have to be happy with how I am. And you know what God says? Not acceptable. You know the term acceptable in Romans 12:1 is not pleasing. You and I are called to give our bodies to the Lord and to be wholly acceptable to the Lord. Amen? To be pleasing to the Lord. In fact, in the book of Malachi, they were bringing sacrifices that were unacceptable, lame and blind and so on. And Malachi, God through Malachi said, hey, take that to your governor. See if he'll be pleased with that. Amen? And see, they were bringing God the least because their heart got away from God. Amen? But nonetheless, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, not every believer's behavior is pleasing to the Lord. And so it's our challenge to please the Lord with our lives. Would you look with me, please? Let's begin in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, Paul said, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, and he's going to speak about the forefathers of the children of Israel, were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. And so he's talking about that exodus, if you will, out of the land of Egypt, which is a great picture of salvation. The children of Israel were delivered from the land of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. Amen. And God used Moses to do that in a mighty way. And it's a great picture of God's deliverance and God's salvation of His people. In fact, the church is ecclesia. We're a called out assembly. Amen. We've been called out of Egypt, if you will. In verse number 2, and they were all baptized unto Moses, identified with Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so what he says in verse number 1-4, he says, listen, your forefathers were saved by the mighty hand of God. They were provided for by the mighty hand of God. They were protected for by the mighty hand of God. God had done some wonderful things for your people. They were experiencing the wonderful things that God had done for them. But look at verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, because they were overthrown in the wilderness. And by the way, you and I that are saved and children of God, we're in a wilderness today. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through, amen? And the temptations in the wilderness are greater, if you will, amen? And the children of Israel were in the wilderness. In fact, when they got rescued out of Egypt, they were excited. They began to sing and they began to praise God until 3 days later they realized, we don't have any water. And then they started to complain and murmur, and then God provided water, and then they started to get excited, and then they said, hold on a minute, we don't have any food. They started to complain and murmur, and God provided food. All the gracious, wonderful things that God did for these people, and yet some of them did not please God with their lives. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now look at verse number 6. Now these things were our example. Their defeats, their failures, their sins are an example to us, a warning to us, not to live like they did, not to fail like they failed, not to displease the Lord the way they displeased the Lord, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You see, one of the greatest problems the children of Israel had and why they displeased the Lord, they lusted for evil things, they lusted for the wrong things. Lust is the battle of every believer. Amen? By the way, the devil's a great fisherman. I'm not a fisherman. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a home that my father wasn't there, an alcoholic and everything else, so there was nobody taking me fishing. But nonetheless, fishermen that I know, boy, they know what to use for what fish they're looking for. I had no idea. I thought you put a piece of corn or a piece of worm on something, you throw it. No, but there's something for every fish. And a good fisherman's got a tackle box, and he can open that up, and he can say, boy, those certain fish like these ones, and then the other fish, they like these ones. And let me tell you what, the devil knows what you like. You and I may not like the same thing. And matter of fact, we got to be careful, because we talk about these people getting sucked into this all the time. Well, just because they get sucked into it and it's not the thing you like doesn't mean you ought to get all over them. There's things you get sucked into that they don't. The devil knows you and I. In fact, he comes to us. He came to Jesus, amen, in order to tempt him. And so lust, They were conquered by their lust, which was not pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Look at verse number 7. Neither be idolaters. They allowed idolatry in their lives, many of them. Calf worship. I call it calf-hearted worship. Amen. Calf worship, worshiping God. You and I as believers now, we may pride ourselves that we don't kneel before a statue, but there are idols that we have made. There are idols that come between us and God that we don't physically see. There's the mighty dollar, if you will. There's pizzazz, there's position, there's fame, there's fortune, there's whatever. Whatever comes between you and God, whatever's bigger than God is an idol. Amen? Children become idols. Your children become idols. Amen? These are the things, the lust and idolatry, these are things that displease the Lord when we're overcome by them. He goes on to say in verse number 7, in fact, their idolatry had to do with pleasure seeking, if you will, hedonism. The people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. Boy, does that not sound like our day today? Amen? It's all about these games. I mean, these kids, and not even kids, adults are on these games 24/7. They ain't got no time for the Bible. They're in this, I don't know what's Fort something today. Yeah, come on, somebody help me. Yeah, that's what I'm telling. They get hooked into one thing, and first it was Minecraft, and then it was this, and then let me tell you what, the devil's got them on a wheel, and they're just going and going and going and going and going and going. And you know what? They're chasing something they're never going to get. It's the carrot on the stick. But before we get all over them, what's the carrot on the stick you're running after? What is it that you're wasting your life and wasting your time thinking you're going to get it? You're never going to get it. I think Ecclesiastes said this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity, it's empty. It's like the bubbles that you get, and you dip into that thing there, and you blow the bubbles, and if you look at it, there's colors in those bubbles. They're beautiful bubbles. Go to grab one. Boom, it's gone. Because it was nothing. Amen? I want you to look with me for a moment, please, in verse number 8. You see, it was lust. It was idolatry. In verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication, immorality, as some of them committed and fell in one day and so on. You know what happened there. Can't get the false prophet to curse the people of God. He comes up with a good idea. He says, look, you get him into sin, God will deal with them. Fornication, immorality, sexual immorality. This is every individual's battle. No doubt about it. The day and the age we live in, we have to encourage everybody. We have to encourage each other. Look, there's enough temptation naturally. Can I get a witness on that one? You can't ride down the highway without seeing billboards all over. Amen. Hey, listen, there's enough temptation coming to you and I to battle. We don't need to aggressively start going into some. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Amen. We don't need to overcome sin. Listen, we need to overcome temptation, which is the vestibule of sin. Amen? Yeah. Immorality is taking people. Mighty men, many mighty men have been wounded by her, Proverbs says. Women, loose women, taking down men. It's happening. By the way, let me say this. You may be victorious morally right now. Listen, you're not out of the woods until you're out of the world. We read about Solomon that his problem was when he was old. You figure the older you get, the more easier it's going to get. That's not always the case. Hey, David, when he was a young man, boy, you seen that man after God's own heart. But as he began to get older, what happened? If a man after God's own heart like David, who wrote so many scriptures, could do what he did, what can we do? Don't ever pride yourself, amen? In fact, the very text here goes on to say, let him that thinks he stand take heed, lest you fall. Amen? Never pride yourself. Never pride yourself. Listen, Jesus Christ, by the way, thank God you don't have to be perfect to be used of the Lord. But you got to be honest. You ought to be honest. When Jesus said this to the disciples, he said, listen, one of you are going to deny me tonight. One of you are going to forsake me, if you will. Do you know what all the disciples said to the Lord? Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? See, they all knew their sinful nature. There ain't none wrong. Hey, we are sinful beings and we have a sinful nature. We don't have to act like we had a halo on us. We just need to know what we are and know who we are. Without Christ, without him, I know what I would be. I know where I would be. Amen. Because I was already there. Don't pride yourself. If it wasn't for him, we'd all be in trouble. Amen? He goes on to say, verse number 9, if you will, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. They murmured against Moses, and they murmured against God, and God sent the snakes to bite them. Rebelling against God and rebelling against God-given authority. And in fact, it goes on to say in the very next verse, in verse number 10, verse number 10, neither murmured ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now look at verse number 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. That word admonition is warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You and I have warning. God may have saved us out of the land of Egypt. God may have been graciously providing for us and taking care of us. And yet we can still, in light of all that he's done for us, we can turn our back on him and sin against him aggressively. In fact, the nation of Israel did that. And God spoke to them in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, talking about how he found them as a baby that was thrown out, and he took care of them, and he jeweled them, and he clothed them, and then they turned out to be a harlot on him. Amen? In light of all that God has done for us, he says in verse number 12, as we continue, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. It's the man that knows what he is and who he is that's got to understand, hey, they're more on guard, amen? But it's that person who thinks, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can handle this. Be careful. Pride goeth before destruction and the fall, amen? By the way, look at verse number 13. Here's why we ought, none of us ought to be prideful in any way. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to all, or common to man, amen? We all face temptation. But thank God we all have a faithful God who's able to help us and willing to help us, amen, when we are tempted. There's no doubt about that. Bible says, as I quoted it last night in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 38, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The children, the Hebrew believers that got saved, they were tempted to quit and go back and throw in the towel. And they were encouraged, don't backslide. Don't go away from the Lord. That's not pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to give you three thoughts tonight. Actually, I'm going to give you a lot more than three thoughts tonight, but I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. Amen. Number one, I want you to get this if you're taking notes. Number one, I want you to get this. Pleasing the Lord involves three things. Number one, pleasing the Lord involves obedience. Obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Amen. Doing exactly what the Lord commands and doing it happily. And so pleasing the Lord involves obedience. Now, let me make this obvious statement. Ready? Disobedience displeases the Lord. If you and I were to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, we would read about the fact that David stayed back from the battle that he should have been in. You know, it's amazing. Battles, we don't like them. Can I get a witness on that one? We don't like battles. We don't want battles. But I'll tell you what battles sometimes do. They keep us from getting in trouble. When I'm fighting in a battle and I know who I'm fighting, then I can't just be laid back and allow the devil to really take me by surprise. David should have been fighting and battling and not. He stayed back and you know what happened. He saw something he shouldn't have saw. He wanted something he shouldn't have wanted. God tried to stop him. He went after it anyway. He sinned. He committed adultery, if you will. And then he wound up having a man killed, a man who was actually better than him. A man who he brought back from the battlefield and said, no, I'm not going home. And no, I'm not going to sleep with my wife. It's not right. A man that he got drunk and even in his drunken state made a better decision than David did. Yeah. Think about that. You read that chapter, that awful chapter, and here's what the last verse says. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Displeased the Lord. Let me quote, I wrote some verses down to quote. Listen, Paul prayed in Colossians 1:10 for the Colossians. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You see, how is it that you and I as believers, how can we please the Lord? Here it is, plain and simple. We can please the Lord by walking worthy. Walking worthy. The term walking is a word used to refer to living life. Amen? You and I ought to live our Christian lives in a worthy way. What does worthy mean? It means suitable. It means appropriate. If you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, if you're a child of God, you and I ought to live appropriately. Amen? We ought to walk appropriately. That is pleasing to the Lord. In fact, in Paul admonished the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse number 1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Paul admonished the Thessalonians in Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 11, that you would walk worthy of God. And so he encouraged people over and over again, walk worthy. Now I want to go on a little spiel for a moment. Walking worthy, listen, is walking in a way that pleases God. And some of you might ask this question, and it's a good question to ask. How should I walk in order to please God? And I'm glad you asked that question, because I have an answer right here. Listen to me. Walking worthy means walking in the newness of life. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 4 talks about the fact. And by the way, Romans 6, 1 says this. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We have not been saved to sin. Can I get a witness on that? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But thank God, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen? But in Romans chapter 6, it says, now that you're saved by the grace of God, chapter number 6 says you don't have to be a slave to sin no more. You don't have to live in sin no more. You may fall in it, but you don't have to stay in it. Amen? And he goes on to say, if you've been planted with him, you've been raised with him to walk in the newness of life. Amen? You say, what does that mean? That means this. If you want to walk in a way that pleases God, don't walk the way you used to walk. Walk the new life. Walk the life that God saved you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, which is totally different than the one I used to live. In fact, in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 17, Paul the apostle encouraged those believers. He said this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth," that means from now on, "walk not as other Gentiles walk." You and I have been saved out of the world, and you and I need to walk a different walk than we used to walk before. Amen? We need to walk in the newness of life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things ought to be passing away, and all things ought to become new. Amen? This is how we ought to walk. Amen? And by the way, if I'm supposed to walk in the new man and not like the old man, I got to walk with new people and not the old people. Can I get a witness on that? How are you going to walk like a new man with the old people? In fact, in the book of 1 Peter, they ought to be thinking it's strange that you don't hang with them anymore. Amen? Yes. Amen. Yes, you see, if you want to walk worthy, you need to walk in the newness of life. If you want to walk worthy, let me put it this way, you need to walk by faith. That's the message tonight, my brother, that you gave us, and I thank you for that. We have to walk by faith. We might not see the sun. We may see the clouds, but above is the sun is shining. Amen? Yes. And by the way, everything that's over our head is still under his feet. Amen. He's still in control. And so you and I need to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. What does faith mean? Does it mean a blind leap into dark? No. It means you and I walk according to what God said, not what we see. What I see doesn't look good. What I see doesn't look like it's going to happen. Listen, don't worry about what you see. Worry about what God said. I can't see it happening. I just can't see it happening. Amen. Oh, we got to walk by faith. And by the way, let me say this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. By the way, the example is in verse number 5. Enoch. He had this testimony before he was translated. He pleased God. In fact, in Genesis 5:22, here's what it says. He walked with God. How could two walk together lest they be agreed? Amen? A worthy walk is walking right. It's walking with God. It's walking by faith. It's walking in the newness of life. Amen? Not only that. Walking worthy is not only walking in the newness of life and walking by faith. Walking worthy is walking in the Spirit. Amen? Galatians 5:16. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You and I, if we were to walk in the Spirit, as our brother preached earlier, we would have love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering. Hey, by the way, you have that? That pleases God. I was riding behind this truck, and this truck had on the back, it said, be kind. Anybody run across those trucks? Be kind. Be courteous. Be loving. And I was getting encouraged by all that. And I was starting to get fuzzy feelings. And then it threw everything away with the last statement. It said, be yourself. Can I get away? You had me going. You had me going. I was thinking, yeah, maybe I need to be more loving. Maybe I need to be. And then it just said, no, go ahead and be yourself. Folks, we can't be ourselves. That's not what we need to be. We need to get out of the way and let God's Spirit do a work in us and through us. You see, there's only two options I have. Number one, that means let him have control. Yeah. Or I can walk in the flesh. Right. And that's where I have control. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You and the world need me to walk in the Spirit. Right. You don't need me to walk in the flesh. There was a man in the flesh who wrote a letter and put it in the hand of a good man. And that man's name was Uriah. That man was David, who was in the flesh, and he wrote a letter, put it in the hand of Uriah, and he took it to the captain, and he didn't even realize he was carrying his own death sentence. Then there was another man. In the spirit, he wrote a letter, a good letter, for a bad man. That man's name was Onesimus. I believe Paul the Apostle put that letter in the hand of Onesimus to take back to Philemon. And that letter said, he sinned against you. He robbed you. He did whatever. But forgive him. Restore him. Receive him. I'll pay everything. Don't worry about it. One man in the spirit can write a good letter for a bad man. Another man in the flesh can write a bad letter for a good man. You don't need me in the flesh. And I don't need you in the flesh. Amen. You see, you and I walking worthy. Romans 8:8 says this, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? Walking worthy, what does it mean? Here's another thing it means. It means walking in good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. It says that we are his workmanship. God is producing something in our lives as believers. The day that we get saved, we get put on the wheel of the Lord, and God begins a good work in us. That day we get saved, we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And it says this, we are now ordained to walk in good works. You read the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the people he's talking about were found in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. They were walking according to the course of this world. They were walking in the lust of their mind. They were walking in the lust of their flesh. They were living in bad works. They got saved by the grace of God, and God began to work in them. No longer bad works, now good works. Let your light, your life, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. When I got saved and I got right with the Lord more than anything, I was an alcoholic. I was smoking marijuana. I was stealing cars. I was stealing motorcycles. I was doing all kinds of sinful things with sinful people. But God dealt with me. And I got right with God, and all that went, and I started to do something different, something new. And people knew something happened in my life, and they could give glory to God for that. Amen? Whether they liked it or not. You see, walking worthy is the way to please the Lord. Walking worthy means walking in good works. It also means this, walking in love. As I mentioned about walking in the Spirit. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that you and I need to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Amen. Walking worthy also means this. According to Ephesians 5:8, walking as children of light. In fact, he says this, you were sometimes darkness. Darkness is a symbol of sinfulness. Light is a symbol of righteousness. Amen. And you and I got saved out of darkness, and now God wants us to live in the light and live as the light. Amen? In fact, he says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, that you and I should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? We're going to walk pleasing to the Lord. What is walking pleasing? What is walking worthy? It's walking circumspect toward the lost. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5, that you and I as God's people need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You see, our walk doesn't only affect ourselves. Our walk affects other people. If you and I ain't walking right and talking right, we're not going to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen? This is what pleases the Lord. Amen? Walking worthy. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We need to walk worthy, amen? We need to walk worthy. Walk pleasing to the Lord. We need to live our lives pleasing the Lord. And it's repeated over and over and over again in the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to look with me if you would please. Beginning in verse number 1, if you would, please. The Bible says this, furthermore then, Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We beseech you, brethren, he's talking to saved people, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk. By the way, let me just stop right there. Basically, Paul said this. You know how we told you how you ought to walk. Do you know we're living in a day and an age where people don't want the preacher telling them how to walk? That's the essence of telling people how to live. Who are you to tell me how to live? And by the way, let me just say this. Every preacher understands this. The preacher's not telling you how to live. The preacher's telling you what God said how to live. In fact, the preacher had to hear it himself first. Amen? But you know, nowadays you got this advertisement. By the way, the pulpits are gone. They don't need no pulpit no more. You got these so-called advertisements of an old man standing up behind a pulpit with a long finger pointing out at people, mocking the preaching of the Word of God. You know what? People don't want to hear. We're told that during the end times, which I think we're in, people do not want to hear and they will not endure sound doctrine. But you know what Paul told Timothy? He said, by the way, in light of that, preach the Word. Amen. At least if anything, they'll know one day somebody was in their midst preaching. Amen. Look at verse number 1. Furthermore, we beseech you and brethren and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to what? Please God. He said, so you would abound more and more. By the way, pleasing God should be something we grow more at, not less of. We want more and more of everything but the right stuff. Can I get a witness? Now look at verse number 2. For you know what commandments. Oh boy, people don't like that. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the commandments in the epistles that God commanded his people. Amen? You know what commandments, he said, that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And by the way, here's one of them. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should have possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. God's people should live in such a way, not like the world lives. God has commanded you and I to be a sanctified people, a clean people, a holy people. We can't live like we used to live, and we can't live like they live now. Amen? Look at verse number 7. We leave off. Look at verse number 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. You see, it's a holy walk that pleases God. Amen? And tell you the temptation of why people don't walk holy is because it may please God, it just doesn't please people around us. Can I get a witness? You and I ought to. Now, by the way, look at verse number 8. He therefore that despiseth. What do you mean by that? When you despise something, you don't want to hear it. He therefore that despiseth, if you despise the message of holiness, here's what he says. You're not despising man. You're not despising the preacher that's preaching the Word of God. He says, it goes on to say this. Verse number 8, but God, amen, who's also given us his Holy Spirit. If you and I are going to walk pleasing the Lord, we got to walk holy. We got to walk worthy. We got to walk right. Amen. You know, I could sum up this point in this thought. I want you to get this. According to 1 John 2:6, walking worthy is really this. Ready? Walking as he walked. 1 John 2:6 says this. He that saith he abideth in him, referring to Jesus, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. If you and I would walk like Christ, do you know what that would make us? Here it is. Christ-like. By the way, I don't think you can walk any higher than that. I don't think you can walk any better than that. To walk as he walked. And let me make this statement. Walking as he walked is a sure way to please God. Because remember what God said to Jesus on two occasions. At his baptism in Matthew 3 and on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, two times he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Christ's likeness is predestined for you and I that are saved. We're predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son. Amen? When you and I are Christ-like, we are pleasing to the Father. In fact, here's the attitude of the Christ. John 8:29. I do always, Jesus said, those things that please the Father, please Him. Amen? Oh, would to God we'd have that kind of attitude. Pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord, number one, listen, involves obedience. I'm going to give you the second point and then I'm going to quit. Pleasing the Lord, number two, involves opposition. Opposition. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are not going to simply live a life pleasing to God if we're not going to pay the price to do so. Amen? Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? Amen? Am I afraid to own His cause? Blush to speak His name? Amen? Not going to win. It is going to take opposition. Pleasing the Lord, if I can put it this way, is going to take a fight. It's going to take a fight. Amen? 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Listen to these verses, if you would. Thou therefore, Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul told Timothy in chapter 1 of Timothy 1, verse number 8, war a good warfare. And by the way, Paul did not tell Timothy something he didn't do himself at the end of his life. He said, listen, I have fought a good fight. Timothy, he says, you need to war a good warfare. You need to put up a good fight. Amen? Amen. You and I have to face and fight the opposition that would keep us from pleasing the Lord. We have to face and we have to fight the opposition of the devil. We're talking about the devil tonight. Amen? It's one thing to face him and fight him as a congregation in the gathering, but we got to face him and fight him on a day-to-day living. Amen? 1 Peter 5, you know what it says. Verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, the first part, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist. Resist means to fight. James 4, verse number 7, I believe it is. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen? You and I have to face and fight the devil. It's an opposition. And not only is it the devil that opposes us pleasing the Lord. Listen, we got to face and fight the world. Amen? This world is not our friend. Amen? In fact, if you become their friend, you become an enemy of God, according to the Scriptures. You know what Jesus said in John 17, 14? He said this to the Father, he said in prayer, he said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Amen? Tell you what, the world hates us because of the word of God. And by the way, there's going to be a day pretty soon, where when I say homosexuality is not right, that I'm going to get in trouble because it's going to be a hate crime. Amen? This world don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear a lot of things. Amen? We are opposed by this world. Any man who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, if any man suffer as a Christian, amen, just for being Christ-like, we will suffer. And then finally, let me say this, and I'm going to quit. You and I have to oppose. Not only do we have to face and fight the devil in order to please God, we also have to face and fight the world, but we also have to face and fight our own flesh. Yes, right. Yes, sir. To me, I think my biggest problem is me. Yes, sir. Amen. My biggest problem is me. I have to face and I have to fight me. Let me tell you what Jesus told Peter in Matthew 26, 41. He said, listen, Peter, he said, the Spirit indeed is willing. I don't believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit. I believe he's talking about the inner man of Peter. I believe he's talking about Peter's spirit. You remember Peter when Jesus said, you're going to deny me, all of you are going to be offended. Peter said, not me, Lord, never. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die. And I believe Peter really from his heart was willing. Jesus said, the Spirit indeed is willing. But the problem is the flesh, because the flesh is weak. You read that scripture in Matthew chapter 26, and it's not long we find Peter following afar off. It's not long we find Peter saying, no, I don't know him. No, I don't know. No, I don't know him. He was willing on the inside. It reminds me of Romans 7 where Paul talked about being willing to live for God, but man, struggling to do so. In me, he said, in my flesh is no good thing. By the way, we all got the same stuff. We all got the no good stuff in us. Amen? But here's what Paul also said in Romans chapter 7, verse number 24. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You and I are battling. Our flesh is not saved yet. We're waiting for the Lord to come and redeem these bodies and transform them. Amen? But until then, we got to fight the flesh and battle the flesh, our own eyes and minds and hearts. Amen? We got to do that in order to please Him. Amen? I'll end with this. I quoted a verse earlier, 2 Samuel 11, 27. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. What did David do? Nathan said it this way. There was a traveler. There was a wayfaring man who came looking for something to eat. And he took somebody else's lamb instead of his own. David got mad at that man. But Nathan said, you're the man. You see, the traveler and the wayfaring man was David's own flesh. His own flesh was hungry for something he shouldn't have been hungry for. And he fed his own flesh what he should not have fed his own flesh. Amen? You and I got to battle this thing until we die. Amen? If I'm going to please God, I better be ready to face and fight the devil because he's going to oppose it. I better be ready to face and fight the world because they're going to oppose it. But primarily, I need to be ready to face and fight myself. Be honest with yourself. Know yourself. And pray for God to help you. Amen? The greater is he that is in me than he that is out in the world. Amen? May God help us tonight to seek to please the Lord. Would you pray with me as the preacher makes his way? Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for your spirit tonight. Thank you for all the things we heard tonight. Father, we that are saved, it should be our desire to please you. We know according to Revelation chapter number 4, it's your design. But we know that it should be our desire. In fact, I believe according to Philippians 2, 12 and 13, you're trying to work that desire in every one of our hearts. For it is God which worketh in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. You're working in us to do what you want us to do. Oh God, may we submit. May we surrender. May we stop living to please others. May we stop living to please ourselves. And may we begin to seek to please you in all that we do. May we do even as that song, Living for Jesus. A life that is true, striving to please Him in all that we do. Be with the preacher. Bless the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.